Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu, but before we jump into the first parak, I want to do one more round of introduction, and that is a little bit about the history of this particular time. There is a lot of history here, so it's helpful just to get a sense of the movement of the kings, of the general Middle Eastern power struggles and structures in order to be able to fully appreciate what's happening with Yirmiyahu. So what we're going to do is we're going to reverse a little bit for those who have been here, for those who have not been here through Melachim and Sefer Yeshayahu, but let's just get a sense of what's really happening around us. So we're really towards the end of the Second Temple, and we're going to start at the times of a king whose name is Ahaz. Ahaz is the son of Yotam, who's one of the kings of Yehuda, of the southern kingdom. He is a king who ruled for 16 years. And what happened is at this particular juncture in history, there's a lot of difficulty. There's the rising power, or the really controlling power of Assyria, which is in the north. Assyria is an empire, not just a country, and it's controlling many of the countries. In response to that, a number of the smaller countries who don't want to be subservient, who don't want to pay taxes to Assyria, start forming coalitions to fight against Assyria. So two of those countries are the area of Aram, which is just a little to the north of Israel, but still south of Syria, Assyria, and the northern kingdom of Israel. And so Ritzin of Aram and Pekach ben Remaliahu, who is the king of Yisrael, of the northern kingdom, form an alliance against the Assyrians, who at this point in time really have had control for 100 years. And they try to start fighting against Tiglath-Pileser, who is the third, who is, you know, the really one of the great expanders of the Assyrian Empire. He's the king at this point in time. But not everybody wants to join the coalition. So, for instance, Ahaz of the southern kingdom is not interested in joining this coalition, and therefore is attacked by the northern coalition of Aram and Yisrael. So, between Pekach and Ritzin, this is going to be, by the way, the pattern we're going to see is that under pressure of a far greater power, we see the smaller powers start killing each other. That's what's going to happen all the way through. Even when the bigger powers shift, we'll see the same pattern appearing again and again and again. So in the meantime, so there, you have this terrible civil war where you have, you know, Israel in a coalition with Aram attacking Yehuda, and they killed tens of thousands of people, as is recorded in Sefer Melachim and Divrei Hayamim, and they killed Maaseiah, the son of Ahaz, and Azkiram, the Mazkir. There's a lot of damages created in the southern kingdom, and Ahaz at this point in time, under siege from his two northern kingdoms, immediately sends message to Assyria, the greatest power, empties his coffers and says, "I am your son, I am your servant." And Tiglath-Pileser comes to the rescue and really crushes Ritzin and Pekah ben Remaliahu. At this point in time, they're both removed from the throne. They're both turned into vassal states, and Hoshea ben Elah is now the last of the kings to be the king of the area of Yisrael before it is ultimately exiled. Very sad, just a very sad time. But at the same time, just to bear in mind that at this point in time, the southern kingdom has a very, very negative perspective on the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom has been ransacked, has been killed, has been pillaged by these northerners. And so therefore, the fighting back, the reprisal, even though it's at the hands of Assyria, is not seen by them necessarily as a bad thing, which is one of the tragedies at this point in time. So what happens is Ahaz doesn't only simply go and find a military alliance with the north, with Assyria. What he does is he actually goes and he sends an architect all the way to a messenger to Nineveh, to the capital of Assyria, and he crafts a Mizbeach in the Holy of in the Beis HaMikdash itself, which is like the Mizbeach to the gods of Assyria in the Beis HaMikdash, and he makes it close to the Heichal, and he adopts child sacrifice and Assyrian pagan worship as part of the Homer he is paying to Assyria. So Ahaz is pretty terrible things in the area of Yehuda. However, his son was a very interesting person. His son was named by the name of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu was actually a student of the prophet Yeshayahu, and Chizkiyahu takes a very drastic and different approach. He, in fact, symbolically, he takes his father's remains when his father Ahaz dies, and instead of burying them in the king's burial grounds, takes them on a mitah shel chavolim, a rope bed, sort of to symbolize the changing dominion, and he destroys destroys all Avodah Zarah. He destroys the Nachash Nechoshes, the copper snake, that banner that Moshe Rabbeinu used in the desert because it was being worshipped. He had the Book of Refuahs, this magical healing book according to many. And it's an age of spiritual reform. And in his rejection of Assyria, just to appreciate this, what a brave and audacious move it is, obviously this puts himself in terrible danger. And because he's no longer willing to take the same foreign policy as his father Ahaz, he is challenged by Sennacherib. Sennacherib is now the new king of Assyria, who brings in his troops upon two separate sieges, one under the Rabshakeh, which is pushed away, and the second time now under Sennacherib himself. And it is this point in time when an incredible miracle happens. But before we get to the miracle, tens of villages are destroyed in Yehuda and Shomron from Sennacherib. There's a tremendous amount of damage which is created, and Sennacherib then besieges Yerushalayim. And in one incredible miracle, in a one-night stand, 185,000 soldiers of Assyria die in a plague immediately overnight, and Sennacherib returns with his tail between his legs to Assyria and is murdered by his own sons. And Yechizkiyahu is viewed as a champion because this is the unbeatable empire which has crushed every country, and this little area called Judea is able to reprise the giant. And this is Chizkiyahu's incredible victory and success. However, at this point in time, he is visited by a person called Merodach Baladan II. Merodach Baladan is the king of a small country just next to Assyria, whose name is Bavel, Babylon. And Merodach Baladan is one of the people who for 10 years managed to hold off against being a vassal state to Assyria. He had a prolonged rebellion, which lasted until he was assassinated by the Assyrians. But before he is assassinated, he comes and visits, one of his last foreign policy visits. He visits the state of Yehuda. Clearly, he's visiting here not because he likes the taste of tea in Yehuda, but because he is being invited in, or not because he's invited in, but because he's seeking a coalition with Chizkiyahu, because Chizkiyahu has obviously proven his mettle in his miraculous battle against Assyria. And Chizkiyahu is very gracious, overly gracious. He shows Merodach Baladan everything, his coffers, his weaponry, everything, much to the chagrin of Yeshayahu, the prophet. Because Yeshayahu says, and Yeshayahu's foreign policy has been to his father, Ahaz, and to him, is don't get involved in the wars of others. Don't play games with Assyria, don't play games with Aram, just serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yeshayahu's message, and clearly by aligning himself with Babylon now, says Yeshayahu, it is going to be your arrogance which is going to close your fate, because in the end, Israel is going to serve Babylon, and he is only too right. Chizkiyahu dies, and his son Menashe, who Chizkiyahu tried very hard not to have, Chizkiyahu knew he was about to have a terrible son, tried to avoid having children, almost died in sickness because of that punishment from Hashem, ultimately marries Yeshayahu's daughter, and they beget the child who's Menashe. Menashe is a terrible king. He lives for 55 years, or he reigns for 55 years, and he changes the foreign policy back to that of Ahaz. He aligns himself once again with Assyria, and Azarhaddon, who is the king of Assyria, and this affords Israel, the country of Yehuda, a tremendous amount of security, a tremendous amount of prosperity, but it is inundated with Assyrian worship once again. He realigns himself with the north, and in the Beis HaMikdash there are idols, and the whole kingdom is completely almost submersed in Assyrian culture. He kills anybody who interferes with him, including his own grandfather, Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu dies at the hands of his grandson, Menashe. In fact, this is such a terrible era that the Sefer Melachim tells us that it is because of Menashe that the fate of the Beis HaMikdash is sealed to be destroyed beyond his days. We're not going to get into the complex ending of Menashe. It's very complicated as how he ended or not. But really what happens afterwards is what's important for us. Because after Yeshayahu is gone, and there are decades of no prophet who is really active at this point in time. He is succeeded by his son Amon, who rules for really 2 years. He is equally as bad as his father. He rapes his own mother, whether that's metaphoric or physical. Very terrible description. But Amon is assassinated by the Amei Haaretz, the people themselves, and they replace Amon, the son of Menashe, with a person by the name of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu Melech was only 8 years old at the time. The reason why the Amei Haaretz appointed him was to show to Assyria, who's this obvious power in the background, that they really are loyal to Assyria. They just didn't want this particular king, whose name was Amon. So they put Yoshiyahu there. Yoshiyahu obviously is an 8 year old. He's not doing much foreign policy at this point in time. And the foreign policy of submission to Assyria and their service continues. And this is true because at this point in time, still Assyria is a very powerful nation under Ashur Banipal, who was really the last king of Assyria until the year 627 BCE, which is 13 years after he ascends to the throne. 13 years later, Ashurbanipal dies, and internal conflict and the attack of Babel start. This is when Babylon starts rising as a power, and it takes only till the year 612 BCE, just a couple decades later, when Nineveh itself falls to the Babylonians as they rise to immense power in a very short point in time. We're told by Tanakh that 8 years into his kingship, that Chilkiah, who is the Kohen Gadol, discovers the Sefer Torah in the Beis Hamikdash, shows it to Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is transformed, and Yoshiyahu starts to try to effect change. He waits 4 years until he's the age of 20 to really start changing policy. And at this point in time, while Assyria is crumbling, this is when Yoshiyahu is starting to effect a positive change in the kingdom itself. And he starts sending messages across to his people to remove idol worship, and starts trying to reunite those who are left from the kingdom of the north. Clearly a lot going on over here. The Yoshiyahu is described unequivocally in Melachim Beis Perikov Gimel as the Komo Lohayolof, one of Melech Asher Shov El Hashem B'chol Avavo V'chol Nafsho V'chol Mo'odo K'chol Toras Moshe V'acharov Loi Kom Komo. There was no king before him or after him who did tshuva and created such a spiritual revolution like him ever. And that's what the Tanakh tells us about him. And it is in the middle of this reign, in the year 626 BCE, just as he's starting to change, just before the fall of Assyria, just before the changes are about to start happening, that Yirmiyahu enters the picture. So you can appreciate this over here. We're entering into a time where there's been a tremendous amount of damage which is caused. Decades and decades of damage. Decades and decades of a lack of a prophet. Now Yirmiyahu steps in into the time where there's a gap between dominions and empires, where there's this window of opportunity to be able to potentially change the spiritual tone of the people together. And we're going to hear his voice in conjunction with other prophets around him. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.